Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products.
Get a free audiobook of your choice at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Terminator Genesis.
It's not a robot.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hi, hola.
Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, jump into a mostly spoiler-free review, then jump back into other fun movie topics. This is episode 199. 199.
Pretty sure that's what they had to reach to get to the future.
Are you out of your mind? I delayed that rhyme because I wanted you to say something first.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Now I feel like getting two Big Macs for $1.99.
I feel, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but so what? 109, that's a lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes.
That's not even like the real number. Like, we've done way more than
199. I think we've done way more than 109. I think we've done way more than, like, I think we're close to like 250, I'd say.
I think we're even higher than that. But anyway,
really?
But wow. In terms of official episodes, for, you know, the ones
numbered episodes.
The ones that are canon with the Out Now, the Out Now.
Sure,
history.
Yeah, we're like the Marvel Universe now.
Yeah, we have an expanded Out Now podcast history, but these official canon episodes, we're at 199.
Yeah.
Well, what better, speaking of timelines, what better movie to talk about for episode 199 than Terminator Genesis?
It's almost as if we planned it.
Yeah, it's almost.
We didn't, actually. That actually just was a really cool segue.
You don't remember that conversation we had back in March of 2011? We were like,
wait,
you know,
I think
what,
that you time traveled back to me and you wrote a line, you traced a line to my hand? Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's why, yeah, because I time traveled back and I told you, like, you know what? 199 episodes goes around, I'm pretty sure we're going to have another Terminator movie. that's going to be the day when we finally get to our new our 199th episode. It's going to be perfect.
And he was right.
It already pisses me off about this Terminator movie. There's not even a colon in it. So I can't even have fun by saying Terminator colon Genesis. It's just Terminator Genesis.
That is correct.
Like, that's like, it's already ruined my fun right there.
Colon Genesis sounds like you got a health problem. Yeah.
Seems like Star Trek Into Darkness was like, colon, let's get rid of it. It's lame.
Yeah, but pretty much, yeah. It must be a Paramount thing. I guess that's what it is. Meanwhile, they're like, they're Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movies. They can't get enough punctuation. They got colons and dashes and all kinds of stuff.
All this stuff. And a lit fuse for whatever reason. It's crazy.
We have guests. We have so many guests right now. We're still talking about Terminators and colons. Like, that's weird. That seems like something we do with the doctors. Anyway, from the Naptown nerd, he's been time jumping since 1984. It's Brandon Peters.
Hey, how you doing?
From Game Revolution, he's here with his phased plasma rifle in a 40-watt range. It's Peter Paris.
Hey, hey.
And from a possible future timeline, it is author Randy Schaefer.
Hello.
How are all three of you doing? Answer at the same time.
Terrific.
Awesome.
Got a cold.
Really good, you know.
All right.
he's illin.
Well,
Peter is illin.
First things first, obviously, happy 5th of July.
Yay!
You made it.
We made it.
Oh,
yes.
Man. Can't believe it's another 5th of July.
Exactly. Yeah, but happy 4th of July, guys. We made it. We made another year of independence for America.
What's so special about 4th of July? Oh.
Yeah, England has not taken us back yet. We've managed to avoid that
returned.
One. Yeah.
The aliens haven't returned since Randy Quaid.
The aliens are returning next June. So
that is correct. Yeah.
I mean, some people that saw Terminator Genesis this weekend probably got a brief glimpse of what the title is, because there's no footage from the movie in that trailer.
No one saw Terminator Genesis this weekend.
So. Yeah, that's right. It didn't come in like third or fourth place, I believe. So yeah, we'll get to that. Let's see. Let's get to some show notes stuff first here. Obviously, 199 means that's one step away from 200, and that's just what's going to happen in 2 weeks. we're gonna delay.
I can hear like a deflated audience just go, oh.
Yeah, there's a sad trombone playing. It's you know, but everyone will be happy. Everyone would rather get a great 200th episode than like a randomly hastily put together one. And that's just what we're gonna deliver. Next week is Comic-Con. I do attend Comic-Con every year, and so I'm going to be taking the week off from an official episode so I can do that. But there will be bonus episodes, probably with some of the friends of the show that you've heard before. That'll also be at Comic-Con. We'll record some separate bonuses and put those up to kind of recount our experiences.
Hopefully, if Aaron runs into Jason Trost again, we can get Jason Trost on the show.
Yeah, the FP's Jason Trost.
Right.
He's been J-Tro himself. Yeah. He's been a desired guest for a while. I keep running into him randomly.
Aaron runs into him, like, every Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly. And I always, whenever I run into him, I text Abe, J-Tro! And so...
I'm just like, just ask him to beat.
those who have no idea who Jason Trost is, look him up. There's a little cult movie called The FP that's terrible, but it's also entertaining. So if you want to check
it's
that out.
It's terribly fun, yeah.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it terrible.
Terribly
entertaining. I haven't seen Kung Fury yet, but I'm sure it's on the same level as Kung Fury.
Yeah. But yeah, so with that in mind, the 200th episode, that is going to be delayed by a week. So just be ready for that. What better way than to tease you for the 200th episode by then saying it's going to be held back longer? I think that worked out for South Park on that one time when they decided to put an April Fool's joke instead of something that people were actually looking forward to. That's like a 18-year-old reference I just made, by the way. I think.
That reference has children.
Yeah. So anyway, what else? iTunes reviews and ratings. If you're liking all these antics so far, you haven't even got to the movie stuff yet. Well, you can go onto iTunes. You can give us a star rating and or write a review. It's really simple. You just search iTunes for Out Now with Aaron and Abe. Find our show. Help us out. We love getting new reviews. We love reading them on the show, regardless if they're good or bad. I mean, we just want people to, you know, say something about us. Helps people find our show. Helps other people determine their own opinions. So there you go.
Right, yeah, Abe? Thank you very much in advance.
Yeah. All right. Now, with that, one last thing. I'm sorry. I actually was a guest on another podcast this morning. The Lambcast. It's a few guys from England, a few guys from here, and I had a fun time talking about one of my favorite movies of all time, Gross Point Blank. They invited me on to talk specifically about that movie, and I did. It was a fun time. So
awesome.
I'll put that to the. I'll link that at some point. I think it comes out probably sometime later next week. So
what listeners don't know is that Aaron actually attends a high school reunion every year. And he watches that movie in preparation for it.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Just random high school reunions. It's not even his. He just shows up.
Yeah, I have a suit. Like, you know,
exactly. Yeah. And a Lincoln Town Car.
The Lincoln Town Car. I'm just blasting 80s music. It's wonderful. It's like, who's that guy? I don't know. He does that. All right, let's move on now. Let's end all that. Let's get to know everybody. Where each week we ask each other a few questions, try to set the tone for the podcast, and better get to know
everybody.
All right, Abe, why don't you start this one off?
Is there a movie that you enjoyed Jai Courtney's performance?
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
That's a consensus right there, Jack Reacher.
I would even say Insurgent. I think he, for that movie, which I still don't like, I think
Divergent or Insurgent?
Insurgent.
Oh, Insurgent.
I said
the one
I wanted
one,
to
right?
say. I said
second
Insurgent.
One, right?
Yeah, the
right.
second
so
one.
He shows improvement.
He shows improvement. He kind of, he's only in it for so long, and it seems like he embraces being just like stock villain character, and he does it well.
He has a very brief role in Unbroken, but I didn't hate him in the film.
I think I texted Abe or somebody.
Yeah, he's
the
first thing
Jai Courtney's the first thing you see in Unbroken.
And I groaned.
when I saw Unbroken, I actually thought, you know, there's a scene where the star of Unbroken is standing right next to Jai Courtney, and I looked at my wife and I said, I feel like the producers of this film saw that film and they were like, get us that guy from Unbroken for Kyle Reese, and they just picked the wrong guy.
The Jack O'Connell one would fit, given that they chose Anton Yelchin for Salvation. It seems like the scrawny Kyle Reese made a lot more sense for them.
Yeah.
Even Michael Bean's not, you know, exactly a big bulky guy. He's pretty scrawny himself back in the
day. Yeah, particularly in the original Terminator. Yeah. He's muscular, but he's still very
he's lean.
Like,
I mean,
when you see Arnold in that movie versus when you see Kyle Reese, it's like, yeah, there's a difference.
There's a big difference.
Yeah,
big
there's a huge difference.
Which is reversed in T2 because, you know, Robert Patrick's pretty, you know, lean in that movie versus Terminator. Mm-hmm.
He's got to be liquid metal, though. I mean, I think that they actually just made him out of liquid metal.
Yeah, you didn't know that. Yeah, Robert
Patrick. He's a method actor.
He's been fighting for his rights for years because he's liquid metal and not actually a real person. Peter, do you have thoughts on Jai Courtney in general?
I really don't like Jai Courtney, but, you know, honestly, I don't remember him in Jack Reacher. I only saw that once. Maybe
he's the sniper guy.
He didn't talk much, and he shot guns.
Yeah.
If I have to pick right now, just because it's in my mind, I was surprised that, I mean, I didn't really hate him in Terminator. So, I mean, I guess I really don't like him in the Divergent movies. You're totally right that he's being a bad guy, but it's so hollow and everything. It drives
in the first one, I think he's just like, he has this weird Macklemore haircut, and he's just terrible. But in the second one, I think he embraces the role a little bit more.
All right.
I mean, it's not like I'm ever going to go back to Insurgent and, like, really analyze this. But just the...
Aaron's actually going to do it tonight.
So I'm going to watch Analyze This instead.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, people haven't seen enough of that.
Yeah, exactly. I will continue to say that Jai Courtney is great in the first season of Spartacus. Like, that's where I knew, that's where I knew him from, and it's like really sad that some, he has like the best agent. He's just not good in any of these movies. Like,
oh, man.
He said yes to all the right projects. It's just he's not very good in them.
So often just kind of miscast.
I mean, he'll be great in the bland white guy Expendables movie we keep pitching with him and Sam Worthington and Sam Coughlin and Alex Pettifer. Like, that movie with Jai Courtney.
Alex Pettifer.
Yeah, that movie will be amazing. You know, bland white people in one action movie. Like, that. I can't wait for that one. But
this is true.
And even then, I'm still looking forward to seeing him in Suicide Squad. He might be a good boomerang. Like, he's...
Yeah, for some reason that seems to work.
Yeah.
He's someone that I'm kind of like, I'm waiting for him to have that moment where you're like, oh, wait, no, he is good. He's just not been good in the things he was in before.
I'm waiting for his Channing Tatum 21 Jump Street moment, too.
Yeah.
I liked him before. I mean, he got better, but I think I liked him before he got to that point where he's like, oh, he's funny too, like that kind of thing. I think he had a kind of level of charisma that Courtney really doesn't have. It
I liked Channing Tatum in I think it was The Dilemma, which wasn't a great movie, but it was the first movie where I was like, I like Channing Tatum in this movie. He's the thing I like about this movie.
Oh, I like Channing Tatum a lot. I like him. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I'll take him over Jai any day.
Easily there, but we're thinking more like before he became like the more
like 21 Jump Street turned everybody. Like, everybody's like, oh, okay, now it's cool.
Well, no, I liked him in Step Up 2.
For all 5 minutes in Step Up 2?
Well, I know it's super short, but it totally worked, and I liked his dancing. I'm not a huge fan of the first Step Up, but I love all the rest of them.
Yeah, so. Yeah
Brandon
Randy and I were all on the Step Up podcast where we discussed how great Step Up All In was.
Our affection for Step Up.
Yeah.
Except for the first one, yeah. The first one's just okay.
Yeah. Like you said, Peter, you said that like it's one of the rare series that gets better as it goes along, and then 4 happened. But we forget about that one, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about Terminator, by the way, this week, by the way. I don't know what we're talking about right now, but we're supposed to be talking about Terminator. We're still on Know Everybody. I haven't even asked my question.
You haven't asked your question, yeah.
See, Abe, when you pull out Jai Courtney,
this is,
opens up all
the can of worms. It's a good conversation.
Like, that's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
I want to change my question now. I have a different question. Whatever. I don't need that question. I have a better question. Is there an actor similar to Jai Courtney who's popular now and, like, well-renowned and whatnot, but had, like a start where you just didn't really care for him? Besides Channing Tatum, I guess, since we already talked about that. Can you think of one?
An actor I didn't care for, but now it's like, oh yeah, I enjoy seeing a lot of his films.
Yeah, like in these early stages as he was rising.
That was forced upon us.
I mean, you could phrase it that way, but I mean, forced upon us is the same as this is a new up and coming actor, so he's obviously going to get more roles.
Does it have to be an up and coming actor? Because I would say Chris Evans.
Chris Evans?
Yeah, because before I was like, I don't like. He was in Not Another Teen Movie, and he was funny in that. But it's like, oh, he's just doing all these romantic comedies, and then. He does something like Snowpiercer or all these other small things, and he was really good as Captain America as well. And
how many romantic comedies did he do? I can't think of.
I don't know either.
There's like The Nanny Diaries, which I don't even think is.
Yeah, I remember I remember him being in like Sunshine and Cellular.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Sunshine. Is really where like I'd seen. I really liked him in Not Another Teen Movie, and then
me too.
He kind of fell off the map for me until Sunshine, and I was like, oh hell yeah!
I think he did like one. I think he did the first Fantastic Four before Sunshine, and then the second one was after Sunshine, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was even the same year.
Well, I liked him in Fantastic Four. Well, I thought he worked like really well.
He's one of the few things that were. I mean, and I like that movie in general. I don't love it, but we'll save that for a future commentary. But I think that movie's fine for what it is. But he's certainly one of the bright spots, given that he's the Human Torch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, but I'm trying to think old, I guess.
I'm thinking like –
Was Tom Cruise in a lot of – no, like he like started pretty strong enough. Like,
DiCaprio did a bunch of like kind of – like he did like Critters 3 and stuff like that in the beginning.
But it's not like he immediately was in
Eating Gilbert Grape like a year later, you know. And,
yeah.
Well, DiCaprio got dumped into like, you know, guys hate him because the girls love him forever in the 90s with like Basketball Diaries, Romeo plus Juliet, and then Titanic. Yeah. And then he started working with Scorsese, and people generally, like the male population, started coming around on him, being like, "Oh, he's so awesome."
What about Timberlake?
He's good in supporting roles. I don't think he works leading.
He's not a top tier actor, but at the same time, I feel like he's
sometimes miscast, and then sometimes he's really great in supporting roles. But when he's been in the lead, it's rough.
Yeah, like
we just watched
In Time, right?
We watched. our movie of choice for July 4th was actually Southland Tales this year.
I like that movie.
I do. It's not a great movie. It's a mess, but I love it.
It's a mess. It's an adorable mess.
Yeah.
Put it. Richard Kelly's Southland Tales. Adorable mess. Aaron Neworth ran Hollywood. all right. I think that's enough of that. I think we've sufficiently gotten to know everybody. All right. Let's move on. Let's get to Out Now Cookies.
Tim.
Each week on Out Now, we have one movie we talk about. Though the movies I see during the week.
Tim.
Last week was a little better. I'll admit it.
It was better last week. I think it was mostly because your mom was there, and it, you know, really, really made you emphasize every word.
It helped. It helped.
Yeah.
Peter, have you seen any other movie this week?
I saw Magic Mike, Terminator. Oh, I saw, you know what I just saw last night? And I'm assuming you've already seen it. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I did see that, yes.
I liked it. I don't know if I think it's the best thing ever, but it's good. It was like, felt like B+.
As opposed to every other week where you constantly see the best thing ever, and you're like, you know what, guys, that was the best thing ever. Like,
no,
Rugrats movie, best thing ever.
But I felt like the reviews for this were pretty high. A lot of people really, really loved it. And so I was kind of like, we'll see. I'm like, it looks from the trailers, it looks like it's just good, not great. And that's kind of what it is, but it's fine. Like, I had a good time. I actually had wanted to see The Wolf Pack, but my friend I was going with, really wanted to see the other one. So, did you guys see Wolfpack? I heard it's great.
I've been wanting to. It's playing near me, but I haven't had a chance yet. I hear great things. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it totally sounds interesting. Yeah. I mean, I want to see it.
But yeah, me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Have any of you guys seen it yet?
Mm-mm. Nay.
I know, Abe, you wanted to see it. You haven't got it.
Yeah, it's on my best stuff so far, even though I haven't seen it.
It's in your honorable mentions.
Exactly.
I like that movie quite a bit. I think the kind of the film geekery in it, where these guys, they take old, like, they basically take the Criterion Collection and make their own movies.
That's exactly what I said. I said the Criterion Collection. Yeah, totally.
Because, like, when Peeping Tom and, like, movies like that, is like, that's really obscure for kids that are in elementary school or, sorry, freshmen, like, oh, no, they're seniors, I guess. Regardless, they're in high school. It's like, that's fun.
And also, early on in the movie, there's a scene where we see Nick Offerman is, the lead guy's dad, and you see in the background, I was like, hey, is that a bunch of Criterion Blu-rays? So there you go.
Yeah. All right. Brandon, what other movie have you seen this week?
Nothing really new at all.
What old did you see this week that you want to shout out?
Let's see. I finished up my American Ninja box set from the UK.
American Ninja.
The, nice. Yes, the 88 films over there, I put them out. American Ninja is not available in the U.S. on Blu-ray, which is funny. But yeah, they put out a nice little box set with the 4 theatrical releases.
Refresh us. What is the basic premise of American Ninja, Brandon?
It was a starring vehicle. Well, it was originally supposed to be Chuck Norris, mm-hmm. and then it was Canon Films. So basically there's two piles of scripts. One went to Chuck Bronson, one went to Chuck Norris. And Charles Bronson,
both
Norris
ninjas in their own right.
Yeah, they made a poster and everything for it, and then Norris said, well, if I'm going to have my face covered, I'm not going to be in this. So they decided to make it a jump off for their new hot star, Michael Dudikoff, coming off a bachelor party, and it's he's an American, and he's a ninja. He's in the military, and there's a guy named Steve James in it that I swear was the basis for Jax in the Mortal Kombat games.
Oh.
But, they made four of these theatrically, and the fifth one was straight to video, but it sort of got that shared universe thing where one and two has Dudikoff, they bring in some new guy for three, and then they join them up in four together.
I love the idea that Michael Dudikoff, like, you said that, like, as if, like, James Lipton was interviewing him, is like, you're coming off of Bachelor Party. you're choosing your projects carefully at this point. What do you go for? Like, that kind of, like, logic.
Yes.
Well, good. Yeah, I'm glad you're able to revisit the American Ninja series on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Randy, what else have you seen?
Well,
recently?
Incidentally, this week I watched the Kickboxer films.
Oh, good.
on Netflix.
Hey, did you watch Descada by chance? Like, are we
I did.
Like,
I watched The Simpsons.
But actually, I don't really want to talk about that so much because they're all terrible. But I saw Inside Out, which I hadn't seen yet. We actually went to the drive-in and saw Terminator and Inside Out back-to-back. Inside Out, definitely the better of the two films, of course. Probably one of the best films I've seen this year, actually.
Great.
Very cool. That was pretty great.
Yeah, it's my number one or two. It goes back and forth between that and Mad Max.
Well, let's see. I saw... There's two things I guess I'll bring up. The first thing I saw, or that I'll bring up, is The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? This is a documentary that's been crowdfunded for a while now to get it, you know, completed and whatnot, which goes over the story of the film that was never made called Superman Lives. The best way I could say this is it's like Jodorowsky's Dune for comic book geeks and movie nerds, where that movie was about this, you know, this wild take on Dune that was going to get made but didn't end up happening. And that's a great documentary that came out last year. This movie is about the Superman movie that was going to happen in like the late 90s. That was going to be directed by Tim Burton, starring Nicolas Cage as Superman, and featuring a script that was one of three drafts was written by Kevin Smith. Now, people have heard rumblings about this for years, I imagine, but no one really knows the entire story, which is what this documentary does. And without going into too much detail, the best thing I can say is that after watching this documentary, it makes me want to see the Superman movie, as crazy as a Superman movie directed by Tim Burton and starring Nicolas Cage sounds. Everything that they kind of had going into it makes it sound like the most interesting Superman movie I'd ever see.
Yeah, it seems like a very ambitious picture they were trying to make.
Which is ultimately why it didn't happen, because it just seemed too weird, because obviously it's a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
They need someone to like animate, do an animated version of that and Jodorowsky's Dune. Like, that'd be awesome.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you could get Cage to voice it.
Yeah. Truth, justice, and the American way. it would have been something, that's for sure.
Did they interview John Peters on that?
John Peters is heavily featured in this documentary.
Oh, that's outstanding.
John Peters is one of the very, very heavily involved producers of the Superman movie. If anyone that listens to like Kevin Smith regularly talk about things, he's many times talked about his experience writing the script for Superman Lives and how John Peters had some very interesting ideas for what he wanted to go in the Superman movie. Obviously, Brandon, you're related to John Peters, I assume, right?
Yep, Uncle Johnny.
Uncle Johnny, as you call
him. Always gets me toy spiders. Always gets me toy spiders.
Yeah, that's The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened. It's playing in L.A. I'm not sure if it's on VOD or whatnot, but I know it's
July
9th? Okay, great. Well, it's certainly one to check out. I might even have a chance to interview the director next week at Comic-Con.
Oh, sweet.
So hope to learn more about this, because there's some wild, like, he gets to interview Tim Burton and Kevin Smith, who... it'd be a shame if this movie didn't have Kevin Smith's involvement, given that he can, you know, talk up a good game about, you know, this and make it hilarious. But unfortunately, there was no Tim Burton and Kevin Smith in the same room together, because that would have been interesting. But anyway, aside from that, I know, Peter, you also saw this Magic Mike XXL. Do we call it Magic Mike? Does anyone call it Magic Mike Extra Extra Large? Like, is that a thing that somebody says? Like, does someone
walk to exit? Yeah.
Does someone walk to a theater and is like, one ticket for Magic Mike Extra Extra Large, please?
Definitely want to hear that.
My mom just calls it the Channing Tatum stripping movie.
Oh, that one. let's see. We reviewed this, Abe, on like one of our
last year for Magic Mike, right?
Well, Magic Mike, two years ago when it came out. This was a double episode, I believe, with Ted.
Yeah.
Both of which opened on the same weekend 2 years ago. Now it's about a weekend apart, but still, you know, calling back. And I didn't like this movie that much. I know, Peter, you like it more, correct?
I do.
Yeah. Whereas the first one, I think it had some interesting things to say to go along with the fact that it's like the Channing Tatum stripping movie. This one, it's very loose. And there's something admirable about kind of a movie like this in the, you know, the heat of summer, all these other things going on. There's just like this random, like, guys on a road trip movie that has no real conflict. There's something admirable about the kind of artsy value in that for a movie like that, that kind of, you know, comes off the heels of a Soderbergh directed movie.
You're telling me that they don't just bond together over making grilled cheese sandwiches and then Sofia Vergara just shows up?
I mean, it has a lot. I mean, you could kind of phrase it in the same way that Chef happens, where there's no real...
It's just a road trip movie.
It's a road trip movie. There's no real villain. There's nothing of that nature. It's just kind of like, here's some guys going on a trip to do this thing. Like, and that's it. And I could admire that to a point, but at the same time, there's a lot of downtime in between the kind of set piece scenes, whether they're comedic or dancing. And the times in between there, I just wasn't really digging that much. I didn't think they were kind of performing in a way that was like fun or energetic. It just kind of felt like dead air in between bigger stuff.
Hmm. I mean, I think that's the difference, is that like for me, I thought it was a pretty good balance of downtime and deliberately, consciously a meandering kind of quality to it. And then you would have scenes where they would be dancing, you know, they go and meet Jada Pinkett Smith and all those kind of things. And actually, I thought it had just the right amount of energy when it needed to. When we left the screening, I remember you thought it did not have energy. So I think that's the I think that's the difference in why I liked it more than you. Because
yeah, that seems to be it. Like I don't
Smith pretty cool in the movie?
Smith, yeah. I mean, coming off of Gotham, where she's already like going way over the top, it's like, yeah, no, Jada Pinkett Smith's still doing that. Like that's no problem there.
Oh, yeah, I thought she was good. Actually, I thought what is his name? Matt Bomer. I thought he was kind of a washout in the first Magic Mike. And he has more to do here as this kind of hippie new age kind of guy. And actually, I thought he pulled it off.
All of those guys have more to do because there's no McConaughey this time around. And
that's true.
I think that's what partially bugged me too. The kind of charisma he brings to any movie is sorely lacking from this movie.
No, he's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not gonna argue that. But I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, like I thought it was, you know, like yeah, it was good. I mean, like I prefer the first one. Although, you know, what you brought up a thing though, which I think you said is, you can admire, but I think I admire that. Well, I guess if you pull it off, both Inside Out and Magic Mike XXL do not have villains. In fact, at the end of Magic Mike, they're going to their big stripper convention. There's no contest. There's no, like,
there's
oh
no
my god.
There's no prize or anything. Yeah, there's no first place. It's just, no, we're all here.
And I kind of like, I really like that about that movie. And of course, Inside Out's so different, but I like that also. I don't really, don't get me wrong, obviously, a movie like Terminator, clearly there's going to be bad guys and stuff. But I kind of appreciate seeing some of these movies that know, they kind of wisely know that I don't think that's why, like, we're seeing Magic Mike. You know, like, I'm not really, I mean, it could have been fun to have a cheesy bad guy. That might have been fun. But I mean, you know, like.
Does Extra Extra Large have any of that sort of like, you know, like the first film kind of had this like dark undercurrent going on throughout the whole film. You know,
no,
you'd see the stripping scenes and that's good. Because that's the only thing about the original film I kind of didn't like because I felt that. It was just a cold shower every time the people weren't stripping.
It's weird. I go back and forth on that because it's not that I don't think it's effective, but on the same end, I think in the first Magic Mike, there is a weird sense of like Soderbergh is giving us what we want and it's pretty fun. And then he's kind of like, you know, slapping us on the hand. I mean, like, shame on you. Stripping is terrible for these people. They have drug problems. And it's just like, oh, come on, man. Like,
They really take away from that and more go towards positive things. There's a lot of like love and respect for women in this movie, which you wouldn't necessarily expect.
Nice.
Like it's both a male bonding movie and a movie that really kind of celebrates the idea of treating women with respect, which
is
in a male stripping movie, which is impressive.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is Rental.
I would say Rental. Yeah.
I would agree.
Those that want to see this movie at some point, rent it. Yeah. I did like that it lacked the mustard yellow filter that Soderbergh wanted to put on the first movie. That was nice.
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought you were gonna describe a scene in which somebody is squirting mustard all over the place, for whatever reason.
That's in the next one.
Oh.
Okay.
Triple X.
That's Triple XL.
That's not no quickies.
Vin Diesel's gonna.
Vin Diesel will be in it for sure.
TM.
Thank you.
The Rock.
The Rock. It'll be the Fast and Furious meets Magic Mike. It'll be great.
Han's gonna come back.
Han comes back. His twin brother's one of the strippers in the next one.
Jason Statham is the evil strip club owner.
Yeah. Oi, that's my 1 second Statham. All right, moving on.
Face-off machine.
Let's get to trailer talk. We talk about one of the newest trailers of the week. What's coming? When it's coming out? And what have you? This week we have Creed. This is the film that's a spin-off of the Rocky series, starring Michael B. Jordan as Apollo Creed's son. The film is directed by Ryan Coogler, who previously directed Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, a movie that I really enjoyed.
It's streaming right now, I think.
I believe it is streaming on Netflix right now, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this film basically follows, what's his name, Adonis? Something like that?
I'd have to look it up, actually.
I think it's like Adonis, I believe, like Adonis Creed. Anyway, it follows him. He's a young boxer. He's working out, he's doing his thing, and then he eventually manages to meet Rocky, who helps serve as seemingly his trainer. We don't actually know for sure what role he's playing in here, but basically a new Rocky movie without Rocky as the main contender this time around. With all that said, let's Randy, what are your thoughts on the Creed trailer?
The thing I loved about it the most is I want to see it, and I don't know anything about it. The movie doesn't let me know what the relationship is between him and Rocky. It doesn't really even show Rocky until almost midway into the trailer.
Yeah.
That it felt exciting, and you know, I honestly probably won't watch any more trailers for it because I'm good. I'm in, and I want to know how the story unfolds. You know,
Peter.
Yeah, I agree. At first, when I saw the trailer, I saw it before Terminator. I was a little disappointed that we didn't see more of Stallone, more of Rocky. However, that being said, I agree that I don't completely know what the story's about beyond the general notion of him being his Apollo's son and everything. Yeah. But I thought the biggest thing, and it's kind of funny because we're not talking about this other trailer, but the distinction I would make was that I felt like Michael B. Jordan was doing a pretty good, the way he was moving his head up and down and throwing his punches and stuff. I was like, actually, he does kind of feel kind of Carl Weathers-y now, which is good. That was a distinction for me. I was like, wow, Michael B. Jordan really seems like he's, you know, he really is Creed, you know.
Brandon?
The thing I liked about the trailer is, I mean, they could have easily just rockied it up, but they sold this as its own movie, and I was into that that movie itself without even Rocky's presence, and then they bring him in, and it's like a bonus.
I think I should think of it as a bonus. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, Rocky's in this, and because they could easily try to sell this all Stallone, but they're selling this on go see Michael B. Jordan in this boxing movie, and if they want to get the kind of vibe and tone of like the better Rocky films. If you look at Fruitvale Station, that could easily work. But my one qualm with this is personal. I took pride in I was an extra in Rocky Balboa, and I took pride in being part of the final Rocky movie. But it's extending.
Oh, you know,
this is basically it's Rocky V, take two. Basically, this is going to be probably a better version of.
I wonder if they'll address that at all.
They barely did in Rocky Balboa.
Well, yeah, they did a little. He mentioned the home team thing in Rocky Balboa. I was curious because Tommy Morrison is no longer with us.
Did Tommy Morrison die?
Yeah, he did. A few months back.
He died of AIDS.
I remember for the longest time.
Maybe last year. Yeah.
He had been diagnosed with AIDS, and then he was saying that he said that he didn't have AIDS, that it was a conspiracy. So you're saying he died?
He died of AIDS.
Yeah. Was it like 2014?
I think maybe 2014.
It was fairly recently.
Yeah,
fairly recent, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Abe, your thoughts on the trailer?
I'm excited for it. I think that what you guys have said is all correct, which is Rocky Balboa doesn't show up until much later into the trailer, and it's kind of just an added bonus at that point, because I knew that he was probably going to show up to make some sort of cameo or have some smaller part, but they saw the movie as Apollo Creed's son, you know, trying to make it in the boxing world. And I've seen two trailers for boxing movies this year, and one of them managed to not really tell me a lot about it, and that makes me want to see it more. And
at the same time, I am looking forward to Southpaw also.
I'm looking forward to see what it is, because I'm interested in the people making it and people behind it. But I think the trailer is just not as crafted.
I didn't like the trailer as soon as I saw. That's Antoine Fuqua, right?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
As soon as his name came up, I checked out. I was like, nope.
The Fuqua guy?
What? Yeah. Oh, I mean, he did Training Day, but that's like a million years ago. I mean, like...
Yeah. That's not even my go-to Fuqua movie.
What's your go-to?
I can't even think of it right now. It might be...
Tears of the Sun!
I like Bait. I took the Bait. What are the other... King Arthur. Yeah, okay. There's that.
He's all over the board.
Equalizer is not amazing.
Olympus is Fallen.
You know what? Okay, I think it's more... I admire that he makes, like, unapologetic R-rated movies. That kind of
Shooter, right? He did Shooter.
Yeah,
he did
I can
Shooter.
See that.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of people really like Equalizer. I was okay.
I'm not.
I was okay with it. I was like, that's all right. But I have friends who were like, oh, that was really good.
If it was 20 minutes shorter in the 2 hour and whatever minutes it was, I'd be probably happier with it. But no, it was like, why is this still happening? Why is he?
It had a great first act. That movie had a great first act, and
for
then
sure.
just didn't hold up. What's his name? Wahlberg plays a guy named Bob Lee Swagger.
Yeah,
and one of my favorite parts of the movie. Is like Danny Glover and Ned Beatty.
Yeah,
they're like being villainous in this house, and he's like, you know, Wahlberg's going to like attack it or whatever, and he cuts the power, and the lights go out, and Glover stands up and goes, "Swagger!" like some guy going, Batman. or something like that, but he's like, swagger.
My favorite moment in Shooter is there's a part where Wahlberg gets caught or something, and Danny Glover goes, I win, you lose. And then, like, later on, like, they're trying to implicate Glover in some crimes, and he thinks he has them, but then, like, Glover gets out of it again, and he looks at Wahlberg, and he's like, I win, you lose, again. And it's like, that's an actual line in the movie.
Like, dialogue from, like, 1980s, 1990s Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
What are we talking about? Why are we talking about Fuqua? Because of Southpaw, apparently. I even talked about my thoughts on the Creed trailer. I think it's great. Ever since hearing about the project, I've already been like, I want to see that movie right away because I loved Fruitvale Station. It was my number two movie of, 2 years ago? Yeah. And I thought it was terrific, and I really want to see more of what Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler have to offer. And so hearing that idea, that's such a great idea for, like, a way to continue a franchise. If you're going to continue a franchise, I think that's a really great way to do it, one that feels really organic to specifically the Rocky franchise, where it's like, yeah, there's other boxers in the world. That makes sense.
And Rocky movies have always been they're less action, you know, they're very character. So
yeah.
I would watch a movie about Rocky owning an Italian restaurant.
Which is what Balboa basically is.
Yeah, I mean, I
kind of got that. Like,
I'd watch another movie. I'd watch, you know, I just love the character. I think
it's all about Rocky and Polly and Adrian. Like, the whole world of their characters is what you
can't forget
kept
Mick.
Going for. Yeah.
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 So yeah, after seeing the trailer, now I'm just like, this is one of my most anticipated movies of the year. Like, I don't say that lightly in a year where there's like a Tarantino movie and a Star Wars movie coming out. It's like, okay, yeah, Creed is on that list too, guys. Like, this movie looks fantastic. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with Creed right now. All right, so Creed comes out Thanksgiving. So take that, Mockingjay Part 2, I guess. Like, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see who survives in the ring. Wah, 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 wah.
Two men enter, one bird leaves. Okay, moving on. Geez, we've been going on a while. We haven't talked about that other thing that happened this past weekend, which is our main review for Terminator Genesis.
Time to going back to her. She was scared and weak. Take care of her for me, Kyle.
All wrong. John sent me here to save you.
From the Terminator that was sent back to kill me, I know, but we already took care of him.
We
have been waiting for you.
The time John sent you to, it no longer exists. Everything's changed.
That should have been some of the trailer for Terminator Genesis. This is the latest Terminator film, which finds future John Connor sending Kyle Reese back in time to stop a Terminator, only to find that things are a little different. Sarah Connor is already well aware of the plan and has her own Terminator to turn things on their head. From there, Reese, Connor, and the Terminator Guardian will do what they can to deal with this new alternate future that has been started. The film comes from director Alan Taylor, best known for his work on Game of Thrones and Thor: The Dark World. Randy Schaffer, what are your thoughts on, I guess, the Terminator franchise up to this point, and what did you think of this movie?
Well, the Terminator franchise began in 1984, I love the first two movies. I think they're absolutely terrific movies. I think that it sort of perfectly closes out the series. And you know, many years later, they reopened it for Terminator 3, to kind of a love it or hate it movie. I think it's sort of underrated, but
which we all discussed on our commentary.
Yeah, which we discussed on our commentary. You can find that on Out Now podcast. you know, then Terminator Salvation. I like Terminator Salvation for its production design and for some of the ideas that they were exploring. I watched it the other day and revisited it, and you know, it's a dumb movie. It kind of forgets its plot. You know, it has this whole like Skynet's taking prisoners, and then they never really answer why. And the whole time I'm just like, what's going on with the prisoners? I want to know the answer. And you know, obviously it got deleted and they never shared that footage. But I was interested to see that world continue. So obviously I was disappointed with Terminator Genesis. I knew it wasn't going to, but, you know, what I got, I, you know, it was one of those movies for me, I liked it in the beginning. I actually liked, I was kind of surprised at how much I was enjoying it. But as the movie goes on, it just gets dumber and dumber. And I like it less and less as it got more and more convoluted. And you know, by the end, it had all but lost me.
Brandon Peters.
The Terminator movies, the first two, blah, blah, blah. I think when we did the top 20s episode, the first Terminator fell into my top 15 of all time. So really like a lot. I'm a big fan of Terminator 3. After I saw Terminator 3, though, and I was satisfied with it, I thought, you know what? Just stop now. Because you gambled once. You did okay. You did a solid job. But, you know, I don't know if you'd want to go back and touch the world. I wasn't a fan of Salvation. And then comes this movie. This movie, I wanted to just, you know, have some dumb fun with it. But every, you know, I had a hard time connecting. The whole time, like every time I might have got on board, it just would do something incredibly stupid, and I just checked out again and again. And I mean, Jack Courtney, him and Emilia Clarke, there's no chemistry there. To when like a little bit of a romantic part happened later on, it took me by surprise because I was like, oh, okay, oh, that's right, these two are supposed to be. The movie, they didn't know how to write, like, for a Terminator, because Arnold was way too chatty, and
he has a lot of personality. Yeah,
he's a lot of personality in this movie. He looks like he's having fun, though.
I actually kind of liked his take. I like how each movie he plays a little bit different.
Well, we'll get back to that.
But yeah, this is a movie that like is about time travel that doesn't really know much about time travel, but wants to tell you all about time travel the whole time. Emilia Clarke, she started out really rough for me. I think she kind of improved as the film went on, but when the guns are like way bigger than her hands, like a pistol, and she's trying to fire them off, it's just very unconvincing. I think she kind of had the Linda Hamilton thing going down look wise for, you know, the 80s. And I'll give them props. The 80s stuff looked really, really neat. They wanted to Back to the Future 2 this thing where it's like, oh, we're going back and doing all this stuff, but Back to the Future worked because they had all the same actors. And those moments meant something when the same actors revisited them. The money stuff weren't working. And yeah, I guess we'll keep going into it. But yeah, it was, this one was rough. I couldn't, there was a mid-credit sequence that I didn't care to stay and see. So
Peter, your thoughts?
I was kind of, I think I end up around the same. I actually just made the mistake of rewatching Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 like a day or two after I saw Genesis. And when I saw Genesis, I was like, well, it was all right. That was a movie, as Aaron would say. But like, yeah, I mean, Terminator is also one of my like favorite movies ever. And that new Blu-ray that relatively new transfer from a couple of years ago.
That's great.
Like, it looks amazing. And I was just like, wow. And then I watched Terminator 2 and that still holds up. And, you know, it's kind of bloated, but it's great. This one, I feel like I'm the opposite of you guys. I actually was hating the first half hour. I really thought that it really bugged me how they were recreating scenes from either scenes or characters from the first two movies, but poorly. Like, I mean, just a lot of things. Like, this doesn't work at all.
Even like the picture of Sarah Connor bugged me. Like,
even
that did bug me. Oh my god,
awful. Like, yeah, like that was that, or the scene where, I mean, you know, look, I get it. I get that you don't. Bill Paxton is not a young man anymore, but that whole scene with the punks and everything felt so like a costume. Like, I guess you feel like in 1984, you shoot those scenes with these punk kids. One of them is Bill Paxton. You kind of feel like, oh, Cameron has kind of a flavor of like, this is what some of the kids are wearing these days. In this, it just looks like such a costume. And I was just like, I don't buy any of this. And then you have that scene that they talked about, which is Terminator versus Terminator. And while if you took a still of it, if you were like, here's a photograph of our recreating Arnold from 1984. It looks pretty good, but the movement is really herky-jerky and computer-generated, and I just didn't think it worked. I was just like, this doesn't work at all. Strangely, the one positive thing I would say overall is that I can't really defend it as, like, great or anything, but I kind of got into the rhythm of Emilia Clarke, Jai Courtney, and Arnold as Pops in their little bickering and banter and dialogue. Like, again, I'm not saying it's great or anything, but, like, I do think that Clarke kind of does look and talk kind of like Linda Hamilton more than I thought going into the movie. But you're totally right. It's not really about, once again, it's not about anything, and it's really pretty dumb. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I enjoyed it more after that shaky for me, that first like 30 minutes. And then I was like, okay, this is kind of dumb, but I'll just go with this, you know? So I like, you know, I like him saying seatbelt Sarah Connor. Like, I mean, no, it's so cheesy, but I'm done. Mm-hmm. So
I felt like it seemed a bit like a very expensive fan film. Particularly because they recast roles that you know from the original film. It feels like a bunch of fans got $150 million and made this convoluted mess of a movie.
Well, also where it starts feeling like that way is right when Kyle Reese goes back in time and they have that BS flashback with that new development that just feels so hacky and forced in that the Genesis stuff, basically. Like, I kind of started checking out right there. I was like, oh, this is BS.
Abe, what are your thoughts?
On Terminator series as a whole, I knew George Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. Terminator 3 was, it's okay. I didn't really like how animated Arnold got in that one with stupid lines like Talk to the Hand and whatever else. Salvation, I was actually talking to my buddy the other day, and I can't really remember the plot of Salvation. I don't really remember a lot of Salvation.
There's a lot of grays the plot. And browns, and yeah, Christian Bale screams a lot.
This is true. I think Randy said it, which is like the production design looks pretty okay in Terminator Salvation. I mean, I do remember how good some of the Terminators looked and whatever else. For this one, I agree with what you guys had said, and that was a point I was going to make, which is there's a lot of what you would call fan service, and I feel as though that's kind of also to credit the guys. I mean, it's kind of just some research that they did just to put it on the screen for you to see this parallel universe that's happening right now. Do I think the movie is good? No, not really. Did I have fun watching it? Yes, once I separated it out, like, this is all just a bunch of terrible, like, plot holes and wormhole talk. And also, if I had watched this, if it was just a movie about some android that came back and they happened to destroy another piece of technology, it's actually kind of a fun movie. It's almost like Edge of Tomorrow to some degree, because they're basically just in an infinite time loop now. But it's not as fun as those movies, and it is convoluted. And because you are in the universe of Terminators and what's happening here in the future and whatever else, it becomes very difficult to follow. And again, when I was able to remove myself from it, I actually did enjoy the aspects of Arnold going around. I liked his performance in this one as this Terminator, because he's a little bit more subtle. He doesn't really do those lame hand gestures and whatever else.
I disagree with subtlety completely.
Well, more subtle in terms of
having just watched Terminator 3 too. I very much disagree.
Yeah, all right. But when I was able to remove myself from it kind of was fun. To get into like the Paramount things, I think that what's his face, the actor or the director, was already saying like, "Hey, I didn't have a hand in cutting the trailer," and he wasn't really pleased with that either. And it does ruin a lot of the movie for you. And again, the posters, like the Paramount marketing team just really tossed up a softball for everybody and kind of just shat the pot. But
that's something that's been part of the Terminator franchise. They did that with Salvation as well. They sort of spoiled the Marcus Wright aspect and, you know, it is something that they've kind of done. They did it in Terminator 2. They spoiled that Arnold was, not the bad guy. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's, I guess the logic is that, like, we need to show them something new, so we might as well reveal the thing that the characters in the movie don't know. But at the same time, they're not even testing the idea of what if we didn't reveal this.
Yeah. And, but it's not direct. It's not directed that way. I mean, they totally play it as a big surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying the movie, you know, kind of makes it clear that it's going to happen from the beginning. It's more of the It's not like, you know, it's not like we're professional marketers, so I don't know than another way, but at the same
I'm just pointing out some examples of things that I didn't think really hit it off that well. And even Entertainment Weekly covers with Matt Smith on it, when you watch the movie, you're just like, that's all that he does?
He's like in a minute 15 of the whole movie.
Well, we don't need to get too far into the marketing for this movie in general, which is, I think, is terrible.
On the whole, like, it's, if you're able to see it as not a Terminator movie, it's actually kind of fun. If you do watch it with a Terminator point of view, it is...
It is a Terminator movie.
Yeah, it's pretty messy. They basically just destroy a bunch of timelines, and they do put a lot of fan service in. So you're not really able to just say, like, oh, well, you know, this is something that I would watch. Instead of watching Terminator 3 and Terminator Salvation, I'll just watch 1, 2, and Terminator Genesis. Is like, no, not really. A lot of it doesn't really make any sense.
I've described this movie as the Texas Chainsaw 3D of the Terminator franchise.
I do not mind Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Yeah, that's great for you, Peter. I'm glad you like Texas Chainsaw 3D. For the rest of us that realize how terrible that movie is, not even in terms of the quality, but in terms of, like, here's a movie that ignores other movies so it can do its own thing and plays the what-if machine. I went into this, like, so, I was dreading this movie. I've been no buts about it. Like, I've not been looking forward to the movie because it looked terrible. Like, it looked terrible. That said, I go into everything open-minded. It's not like I want to go into a movie and think, man, this is going to suck. Let's sit through it for 2 hours. I never think that. In the perfect world, I would have loved this to be the great new Terminator movie. It's like, whatever movies it eschews from the front, I don't care. Is it a good one? Sure, let's do it. This was not that movie. And it started right from the get-go for me. Like, right away, I was like, we're already not even doing well. When it bombs all of Earth with the Judgment Day, I was like, there's not even much tastefulness to this. It's just like, here's San Francisco getting smashed by nuclear bombs. Like, all right, that's whatever. And then we get to the battle stuff of Judgment Day. It's like, all right, some of this is, like, decently made, I guess, but why is Jai Courtney the one that I have to hear voiceover narration for? Like, none of this is helping me, like, right away. It's just like winding it up for me to just hate it the whole way through. And I just, honestly, everything about this movie just did not gel. I did not have fun with this movie. I couldn't admire the action because none of it seemed really that inventive. It just seemed like CG overload, which is something you wouldn't say about the first two movies especially. But even 3, I think, has an amazing car chase in it, which is just a great combination of two different, like, practical and special effects. This movie doesn't even have great chases. Like, it doesn't even have a chase. It has, like, some helicopters that are not real that are going around.
That's like
around.
The end, too.
Helicopters that move like those cars in Attack of the Clones and Coruscant.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, which is frustrating because, like, having rewatched Terminator 2, that helicopter chasing them.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks, because I remember seeing the behind the scenes. I think some of that is a real helicopter.
Yeah.
Like,
helicopters under freeways in that movie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's amazing. Like, that's just,
is a movie that could have benefited from some practical. Like, I know I read that they did flip the bus.
Yeah, Well,
but that's like it.
Once Dark Knight did, they're like, okay, we got to flip a vehicle every time now. Like, okay, we can't skip on the flipping vehicle budget. But, like, everything, like, even Arnold doesn't look that great as a Terminator. Like, watching 2 again, that Stan Winston makeup is amazing still. Like, that doesn't look bad at all. This movie's like, all right, let's just CG up the face and it'll probably look all right. Also,
was I the only one who thought that in the opening when we see Jason Clark and
Courtney?
Matthew Smith and Jai Courtney. We see them in their thing where they're about to, you know, you've got their battle and then they go in the time thing. In the first Terminator and in the second one, I always feel like the future where Skynet has taken over is like super bleak. If you live in that world, you're super exhausted. Like Michael Biehn's performance in the first Terminator, he really seems tired. He really seems like this person who's never been able to rest. Jai Courtney looks like totally like up and at him, and I'm just like, none of these people look exhausted at
all. They're all really clean.
Wonderfully tailored hair.
Yeah.
I think that, like, The Matrix does a better job presenting Judgment Day than this movie does. That's not even this franchise. Yeah. I mean, the like, everything looks so clean and studio-ized. sized and like
very PG-13.
Very PG-13. Yeah.
And Terminators drive trucks.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes. Oh, that was the first part where I was like, "Shut the hell up, movie. Come on."
Why I'm puppeteering.
We have cars that drive themselves now.
Yeah. All these autonomous planes and whatever else, and just a truck with like a missing organism.
Yeah, the one thing with the Terminator, the mistake of the Terminator series, I think a lot of times is people are like, I want the movie of the future, and the future, and the future. And it's like, well, I think the more we put the future in our imagination and get little bits of it in a Terminator movie, the better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's because if they could have done a whole movie in the future, Cameron would have probably done it.
Well, it seems like it's a kind of like what we took the wrong lessons away, where like the first Terminator, you get a glimpse of it because it's low budget, so you can only do so much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Kyle Reese is so like, the way he describes everything, and even his description of like why Skynet did this, it's handled in a few lines of dialogue. This is the movie that's like, let's see the whole battle that led to Skynet's fall until they sent back a Terminator, that kind of thing.
Right.
But then you get to like T2, that movie has a like the opening battle in that movie of the future is awesome, it only lasts like 3 minutes. Like that's all you need.
Yeah.
And then like 3 gives you like, you know, it's like now we're in 2003, so we can show you some CG stuff too, but it still doesn't overstay its welcome. Then 4 is like, here's the whole movie in the future. That movie sucked. Like, there's nothing. I didn't want to see. I mean, I know you like it, Randy, and I know like there's things to admire about it, but that's not the plot I want to see. That's not a fun movie.
Let that stuff be for comic books and like expanded universe stuff. Like, I mean, somewhere
expanded
else.
The universe thing would be an interesting concept like if you ran with it. Yeah, like what they tried to do with the Sarah Connor Chronicles, right?
Yeah, the TV show is solid for what it's doing.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like the show too.
Yeah.
Wait, I think the show about like post Judgment Day, people sort of surviving in it, the obstacle of the show would be to get to John Connor.
Yeah,
right.
That would make a great show. It'd be, you know, similar to Walking Dead, you know, but with Terminators,
which is what a lot of Salvation's plot originally was before they increased the John Connor time, so it's like half the movie as opposed to just being like he's part of it but not the key part. But once you get Christian Bale on there, it's like, well, we got to show a lot of Christian Bale, and so I think that movie suffered for that reason.
Well, Christian Bale was supposed to be Marcus Wright, and then he pitched it. I want to be John Connor.
Yeah.
Wait. So are we all saying that even though we it sounds like we all pretty much think the new Genesis, whatever it's called, that we think it's mediocre? Do we all prefer it to Salvation?
I'll put it this way. I think as disappointing as Salvation was, because that was a movie I was looking forward to, I think there are things that I'd at least take away as admirable about it, and I think it at least tries to explore some neat ideas. Which is what all the Terminator movies do. I mean, along with being action movies, and obviously the first two are better at exploring ideas than the others, I think they all have something to say about, you know, the nature of time travel, the nature of Judgment Day, what happens and with the computers taking over or whatnot. I think each of these four movies have something to do. I think this movie just says, like, let's just put Arnold in some random adventure and throw him around and have some fun with the kids' version.
Well, I think they kind of, what they want to do with this one too is just like, hey, let's get back to like the real storyline, the real plot of things. Like, let's make it a true continuation. It's like, it's not really, because you're just messing everything up even more.
But like at the same time, I can admire if they did that if they wanted to do something smart with it, and they don't.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the whole entire notion that we've talked about in the past of, hey, if you want to take a twist on like a reboot, then great, you know, let's see your take on it. But just don't do anything just because you want to put things on the screen. And this one kind of feels like they do put a lot of the things on the screen. Like for instance, like they don't really call back to Miles Dyson, but his son runs a company now. And
Miles is right there next to him.
Yeah, that would be called
Miles Dyson.
Yeah,
no.
That's why I call him Miles Dyson. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I thought that his son was running it, and Miles Dyson was still dead.
He was
dead.
Next to him. There was Courtney B. Vance as Miles Dyson, and then his son Danny.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Even having just his son is a callback to Miles Dyson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But you know, you have all these things that happen, like Jason Clark character. I think we haven't talked about Jason Clark. Yeah, I actually think that he's got some good line delivery, but I don't like his character.
I like Jason Clark. I thought he was kind of mediocre in this movie.
Yes, I completely
agree. They didn't really give him enough to do, really.
Yeah, I mean he kind of just went... Go ahead.
You know, yeah, he's the villain, but, like, you don't really feel it. I don't even feel like when he's chasing them, I don't feel nervous. I know that they're going to get out of the situation. I don't know what the stakes are. I don't know what's going on.
Like, what is his plan? Like, I have no idea what his plan. I don't even know the logic of
his
plan.
No,
like,
I don't even know
Skynet's
plan.
Like, so he time trapped. So,
right.
So I don't. I mean, spoilers, because whatever. It's on the damn poster. So John Connor is a Terminator. Like, that's like what they've done now. Like, they've turned him into a Terminator. Like, which is That's fun with to say.
Horrible like, effects.
Yeah, with horrible effects. Yeah.
He's gone transcendence. He's Johnny Depp transcendence. He's
basically,
right
yes.
Now.
Like, that's like what
and
they've done.
One of the things that I didn't like about it is just, again, you don't really get a sense of what Skynet is trying to do. And
I almost felt bad for Skynet toward the end when you've got Skynet talking to them or whatever.
Right.
And it's talking like, to them about how evil and villainous they are for always just shooting first, asking questions later. And then they immediately shoot at it.
They're like, you're wrong, guy.
I feel weird. Why do I feel weird right now? Like, do I feel like maybe they're on the wrong side?
It seemed like these are semblances of like the script that was there that was maybe better or serviceable before there's like, let's just put a lot of action over all this stuff and like mm-hmm. remove the intelligence. Like, that's yeah. what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And getting back to, I mean, mediocre, that's a lightweight putting. I think this movie's awful. Like, that's like where I think this is like the worst 4th of July release I've seen since Last Airbender. Like, I think this movie is terrible. I think there's a giant
movie is
waste.
Last Airbender bad.
It's Last Airbender bad. I think there's a giant waste of money here. I think the kind of people they've put in here, it's a mix of like, I'm sorry you had to do this, and geez, this is the best you can do kind of thing. I think even the script doesn't help, but I don't think Arnold's very good in this movie, which is a shame because I think he's been good in the recent stuff I've seen. Maggie, mm-hmm. The Last Stand, Escape Plan is fun for what it is. I mean, I think everything about this just went exactly the wrong way. It's like Alien Resurrection. Like, that's like what it is. Like, there's ideas here that could be good, but they did every one of them wrong. That's what
I feel,
feels like.
I feel like they never saw the future in Terminator 2. They just saw the ride, mm-hmm. like the T2 3D, and they were like, that's yeah. the future. That's what it looks like. It's fun. Yeah, it's for kids.
This is like, remember a Community when they had Turkish Gremlins?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the Turkish Gremlins of Terminators.
It does have kind of like a weirdly, it feels like an Italian sequel.
Like
those,
I saw
like,
it once, and
yeah, like, I don't know what that was. Yeah.
I just, I don't know what the good things are to praise. I mean, Abe, Peter, you guys are seeming like
yeah,
later on than we do.
I don't think it's an awful movie. Like, I don't think that they basically just like, put a bunch of shit on the screen. I think that it's one of those movies where they tried, at least. But is it convoluted? Yeah, it's very convoluted.
I mean,
and is it executed poorly? Yeah, it kind of is.
I guess when I say like off, like, because it, I mean, you guys know me. It's not like I go out of my way to say movies are terrible very often. But I think it's not just that like it's a bad movie. It's
right,
it feels very lazy. It feels like there's an opportunity to do something here. You got Paramount. You got this giant budget, and they could really try to make something that works.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would call it lazy because again, I think that they did their research in doing.
Yeah, they
you know,
watched
the first shoes.
Terminator
yeah,
and set
exactly.
up cameras
sure.
the same way. Good job.
Right, like, and hey, man, at least it's not just like, hey, here's like a huge nod and wink kind of thing. It's like, no, we're actually trying to recreate this thing. It's a parallel universe. And again, I'm seriously not trying to defend this in terms of saying like, hey, you know, give it a shot kind of thing. It's more or less
it
just
feels cheap for how much it cost.
Yeah, and I do agree that the direction could have been better because Sarah Connor, I didn't have a feel for. I didn't really care about Kyle Reese. You know, I really didn't care for what's his face, John Connor. I really just liked Arnold in this movie a lot.
I liked Amelia Clark way more than I thought I was going to because I'm not a huge Game of Thrones guy, and yeah. so I was surprised. Actually, I didn't mind her performance.
I saw her in the trailer, and I was like, I don't know. And
I wasn't
was
huge
like,
on her in the trailer.
I don't
yeah.
know her either.
And,
like, I don't know.
You know
what she
yeah,
does.
Again,
beyond being Daenerys, I'm not sure what her career is at this point.
Right,
so I
and I'm really, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of that stupid photo flashback either. Just like, hey, here's the same photo with Amelia Clark in there.
I laughed.
Of Sarah.
I laughed. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was like, why did they just pull,
like somebody just put a lighter up to it and burnt like like the edges, but like did it like in a very obviously that's
yeah,
what
it's
they
like
did.
Someone cosplayed yeah. this and who has this on their costume with them at all times when they're playing
yeah.
He's like their girlfriend dressed as Sarah Connor for this picture.
Right.
But
again, on the whole, like if you were able to distance yourself from the Terminator universe, which I agree with Brandon that you can't really because it's called Terminator Genesis.
But it's not that it's called Terminator. It's the movie doesn't want to. The movie doesn't stand alone on its own. Like it, you can't watch this movie without seeing any of the other ones and feel like you get the story because it relies so heavily on referencing those other movies.
Yeah, I agree with you there too. And again, when I was able to distance myself from it, when I was able to say like, okay, well, let's just go with this action movie starring Jai Courtney and Emilia Clarke. With Arnold Schwarzenegger playing a small role, and they're just robots. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And
if
it's okay when you look at it that way.
Scratch
I really,
off Terminator. I'm just yeah. going to see Genesis.
But like, where's the, what was J.K. Simmons doing in this movie? By the way,
he was
good in it.
I was enjoying him. He's good, but what did he do in this movie?
He's weird. Playing the Earl Bowen of the movie. He's like, no, I'm not crazy. There's a real thing going on here.
Well, he's the opposite of Earl Bowen in this movie.
Where he actually believes it, but...
Well, he was just random cop from the 80s that just...
Yeah,
I was confused. I was like, wait a minute, who is he? I thought he was supposed to be a psychiatrist or whatever, but I was like, oh wait, no, he's just the
department store security guard.
In press releases, they were like, oh, just wait till you see who he's playing. Well, who the F is? Like, yeah. they're big secrets of like, we're not going to tell you who this guy's playing. Like Matt Smith, like, don't care. So dumb when it, you know, but like, yeah, their big secrets that they had left were not very good. But yeah, J.K. Simmons, he was good, but what was the purpose?
He was good, but it felt like he was in a different movie.
It seemed like his first scene mattered. Then he kept showing up. It was like, why? What are you like? You're here. You're here to open handcuffs, and then you're still around. Like that's what he's doing.
Pretty much.
He seemed like he was there for. He's that plucky character you see in a Transformers sequel. That's like goofy and obsessed with
the
story.
He's the Alan Tudyk of Terminator.
Yeah, he felt like for me as soon as he showed up, and they even called him Optimus Prime. I was like, yeah, all right, thanks for letting me know that this is your Transformers character. I liked him in the movie because you know he was the only bit of sort of energy and originality that the movie was even employing at that point. But you know he felt out of place, and then he just kind of like disappears. You know, he just
literally just disappears.
Yeah.
Arnold just pushes him out of the way and says, like, run. And then that's the end of his
That's
sequence.
It.
We'll just wait for the sequels, Terminator 360, and see how that goes.
Well, I love how they tricked us. Like, this movie was going to be, you know, time traveling back through Terminator's greatest hits, you know, the first two movies. No, we went to, like, the initial moments of 84, and then a lot of this took place in, like, 2017,
yeah.
Such an arbitrary day. Like, why 2017?
Like, why not just 2015?
Like, well, yeah.
Because it's 20 years past Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And the thing I want to do emphasize again, I'm not trying to really defend this, is you have all these problems where they go back in time and Jason Clark is just rifling off all this information to Kyle Reese, which should just basically just tear a hole in the time-space continuum altogether. And at some point, John Connor shouldn't even exist.
Because they jump. They jumped from 84 to 2017, so they didn't exist from 19 that point in 84 until they showed up to 2017.
John Connor, if you try to
explain the time travel of this movie, my head's going to explode because it makes no sense whatsoever.
That's what I'm saying.
Not at all.
That's what I said. This movie's obsessed with time travel, doesn't know a thing about it, and wants to talk about it the whole time.
I think that, like the first two movies. I think there's probably two flaws, even though, you know, time travel doesn't exist, so who cares anyway. But, like, there's probably two things that you just kind of have to go with.
I want to know what they are.
It's, like, just the kind of conundrum of you know, the father being sent back in time, but how did he exist to begin with, that kind of thing, which is part of the intrigue of that time travel story. Whereas this one, how would John Connor exist? Like, that's, like...
He doesn't.
In exactly the same way, where he still has, like, a scar on his face and all these things. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, and there's two huge gaping holes, and one of them is, well, they never
answered... How does Arnold build a time machine in 1984 and no one builds a time machine in 2017? How is that harder?
It's more of, who sent him back in the first place? Huge gaping hole. Second place, why does Kyle Reese go see young Kyle Reese and tell him this information and then basically just create this time loop, right? Because, again, that's why Anyway, I don't want to get into it.
It's like
they
threw Donnie Darko, 12 Monkeys, all into a blender. It's like, let's just take the things that kind of make sense and see what happens.
And the way that they end it is just the way what Kyle Reese, or I'm sorry, what Jack Courtney says at the end. It's like, hey, now there's like any road you can take. It's like,
all of the
movies have
Duke
basically
Boys
said that you can't. Like, there's no escaping Judgment Day.
It seemed like they were trying to go back to the finale of Terminator 2, which just punctuated how unnecessary the sequel was. You know, that, oh, the road is clear for the first time ever. You know, that, and that's kind of what they closed on with this movie. And it was just sort of like, you're unnecessary.
did you guys like the T-1000 with Byung Hun Lee?
It was brief.
Yeah. It was brief, which was a surprise. I kind of expected him to be a threat.
Who sent that one back?
Yeah, who's
Like, why was it different this time around, right?
And why is it not 1991? I don't get that.
Yeah, it's there. There's just so many like loose ends and plot holes, and the way it's trying to kind of factor everything in. It doesn't know what it's doing. Like, it's like, let's be this kind of tribute to the first two movies, but also be our own thing. But we don't know how to do either, so let's mix everything up.
Well, it's like Paramount whoever picked it up was at the Oscar. Like, hey, we pick it up. Anybody seen Terminator before? And the guy's like, well, I think I saw it once. I think I remember it. I saw a second one too. And they're like, oh, you want to write it? Oh, okay.
I would love to show this to a 5-year-old and then have them explain it back to me.
This, I was saying, like, this was like if you went back in time, you know, like they do, and then you went to my 14-year-old self and was like, hey, can you write this a new Terminator movie? And I was like, yeah. And then you took that script and went back to the future and like made it. This was probably it.
I still feel as though your script would be tighter and more
complex. No, it'd be bad.
It'd be tighter, though. It wouldn't be 2 hours.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say, which is, I hate to keep bagging on Jai Courtney, but there's a scene where you do the whole, like, which one is he kind of thing. I don't think anyone could have been the worst pick than Jai Courtney for that scene.
It was perfect because you genuinely don't know. Yeah. You're just like, well, they're both kind of wooden and hollow and uninteresting. So
here's the thing.
Shoot them both.
He had some good one-liners in that script that should have emitted laughs, but he couldn't pull them off.
Yeah. There's a scene where he's fighting a Terminator, and then he manages to defeat the Terminator, and it's just like, here's a line. Like,
and it was, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
All right, fireworks.
Great job.
Have gone off.
July 5th.
Okay. Give me just a moment. I will be right back.
Okay. Paused.
Terminator.
Just curious while we're waiting. Do you guys like Avatar?
I love Avatar.
The cartoon or the movie?
Both.
The James Cameron film.
Oh, the James Cameron.
I love Avatar. I think it's great.
Because I kind of want to watch it again. Like, because I've been lately, again, I'm on a Cameron kick. But I don't know. I feel like when I watch Avatar, I do really like it. But then when I just think about it, I'm like, there's not that much to think about. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. I'm kind of curious about rewatching it.
It's a movie that's not cool to like anymore. But like I saw it one time in the theater, IMAX 3D, loved it. But I'm like, I don't think I'll ever get that same like feel and experience for it again unless it was in IMAX 3D. So I've just never gone back.
I saw it, I think, 3 times in theaters when the IMAX thing happened, and I have a 3D TV, and it's one of those movies where I don't watch it unless it's in 3D because
it's insanely long.
It is long.
It is quite long.
But I enjoy it. I enjoy watching that movie. And, like, regardless of the kind of familiarity of the script, I don't think it's a bad script.
Aaron, what's your top three James Cameron?
T2, T1, and what's it? Aliens.
True Lies.
What's the other one? I like True Lies. I don't dislike any. The only movie I don't, like, revisit is The Abyss. I don't really care about that movie that much. I don't think it's bad.
Well, it's also not on Blu-ray.
That doesn't help. Neither is True Lies, and I can't watch True Lies anymore. It's just, it looks too terrible on its pan and scan DVD. But,
No, I mean, Piranha 2, love?
Yeah, Piranha 2, you know, Lance Henriksen?
Forgot about Piranha 2. Yes, okay.
He's in it.
Yeah. I think I would go with T1, Titanic, maybe either aliens or Terminator 2. I just saw Terminator 2, but I really love Aliens.
Titanic again. I really love that movie too. I think it does everything it needs to. It's not like, you know, the pinnacle of screenwriting, but it's just a fantastic movie in what it's doing.
Actually, you know, it's funny you say that. I wouldn't mind revisiting True Lies and The Abyss, only because I haven't seen them in a million years because they're not on Blu-ray. So I would
like to watch them in HD. That's what I would like to do.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah,
I think True Lies you can on, like, Amazon or something like that.
It's been on, like, TV as well in HD. I think even The Abyss has been in HD. I think I saw it.
They were both, like, readying, like, they were supposed to be being put in the work on Blu-ray back in, like, 2013, and they just never happened.
Like, Cameron's like, I need to go back to the Avatar workshop and get these screenplays going, so...
Because they can't put them out without, like, his blessing for some stupid reason.
I mean, they look great. I'd probably buy it. If The Abyss came out on Blu-ray, I'd probably buy it just because, he does good releases of his films, because that's
well,
why, that's why they're
recently.
Not out.
If you ever
yeah,
look
in
the
day,
history,
yeah.
the Laserdisc of I think it's
oh,
Aliens.
Yeah,
I think it's the Aliens DVD that like kicked off like good Cameron releases, because he's on the commentaries and he's a great commentator. Like he's a lot
oh,
of
yeah.
commentaries.
He is.
He's on the Solaris commentary with Steven Soderbergh, which is like that's a great companion piece for that movie. Okay, yeah. Steven Soderbergh and James Cameron talking together.
Wow.
Anyway, you're back. So let's keep
moving. I am back.
All right. All right, that's enough Terminator Genesis talk. We'll see that next time with Terminator Super Nintendo, see how that goes. Moving on to our sponsors this week, we have today's podcast, which is brought to you by Audible.com. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audiobooks and other similar programs for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any kind of MP3 device. Additionally, Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. If you go to audibletrial.com/shoutnowpodcast, you can choose the book to download for free, and you can start listening. It's just that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/shoutnowpodcast. You can get started today. If you don't like the service, you can get rid of it, but you get to keep that book that you download for free. So, once again, be a winner.
Read.
Or listen, audibletrial.com/shoutnowpodcast. All right, now, let's get to our feedback.
Feedback.
We had a lot of good feedback this week, I believe. Good. So let's get into it. Say, first question here. We're talking Terminator this week, obviously. So what are the manliest Arnold moments? And let's see. Jason, manliest Schwarzenegger movies. And you guys feel free to answer these questions too if you like. Jason has Predator. Philip also has Predator. Abe, I think that's your cue.
Get to the chopper!
It's pretty good.
There you go.
It's pretty good. Justin has Commando. And Tyler has Jingle All the Way. There's nothing more manly than being a great father. So there you go.
To Anakin Skywalker. Right. I'd say Commando. I mean, like, he destroys an entire guerrilla army just to save what's-her-face.
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
My Predator is one of my favorite movies, and I think there's few things that are manlier than Arnold, like getting covered in mud, holding a flaming torch, and going, yeah!
Oh, yeah.
To signal an alien beast to come fight one-on-one.
That actually was pretty cool, yeah.
That or Hercules in New York. Either one. Like, those are the two.
All right. Next question we ask everyone is: What movies is everyone watching this weekend? Manish writes: Gone with the Wind, a movie that represents America, epic, triumphant, resilient, and whitewashing racial oppression.
Uh-huh. Manish got jokes. Yeah.
Philip writes: The Place Promised on our early days and Calvary. Justin writes, I watched The Big Hit because you know why, and also Jurassic Park.
I'm glad someone went back to watch The Big Hit after we made that episode.
Jason likes that movie. Yeah. And lastly, Jason writes, Team America and The Patriot.
Okay.
I think, Aaron, you watched Independence Day.
No, I didn't watch Independence Day.
You didn't watch Independence Day?
No, oh. I watch it every time. I try to mix it up. I don't need to watch it all the time, and I think I actually watched some of it pretty recently. Since last Independence Day, where I did watch it.
Did anyone by chance happen to see the Obama supercut of him giving the Independence Day speech?
That sounds amazing, and I need to.
You should look that up and find it. It is hilarious.
Send me that link if you can find it. I definitely want
absolutely.
To see that. That was my status update for Independence Day.
Yeah.
I will say I did watch Jaws with my lovely girlfriend. We saw Jaws last night on Independence Day, which was quite fun. At an outdoor, like a big screening of it too, like a get the full Jaws experience. Our next question is: What actor would you like to see play an unstoppable killing machine? David has Judi Dench, which is already my favorite answer. Jason has Liam Neeson. Manish has Glenn Close, which has now become my favorite answer since Judi Dench. Rob has Tom Hardy. Christopher has the dude that played Immortan Joe's son in Fury Road, the big wrestler dude. Let's see, and Mike has Idris Elba. Isn't Heimdall like an unstoppable killing? I don't know. But, who would you like to see play an unstoppable killing machine?
Charlie Day.
Charlie Day.
You know what?
5'4" Charlie Day. Yeah. Actually, would be pretty funny.
Dan Stevens. Oh wait, he did that. Never mind.
Newman.
Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight. Young Wayne Knight. Anyhow, last question we asked everyone is: What Arnold puns or lines do you use regularly? Jason writes, "What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age from Batman and Robin."
I'm glad he incorporates that into everyday conversation.
Deborah writes, "Get down!"
Yeah.
Justin has, "I'll be back." Oh, and it's not a tumor. It's one of his personal favorites. And if you're a funny guy, Sully, that's why I'm going to kill you last. Such a great movie. Lastly, Mike writes, I try not to use any of his lines.
Actually, I don't use it all the time, but I was just rewatching Pumping Iron on Netflix, and I like his line about he's comparing it to sex, and he's just like, it's like I'm coming all the time.
Yep. I do remember that. The line that I use all the time is from Predator. I sometimes just slap hands with people and say, like, you son of a bitch.
I do that too. Oh, yeah.
And then I follow up with saying, like, yeah, you got you pushing too many pencils, and nobody gets it.
I say stick around all the time when I throw knives at people.
Stick around.
Yeah, let's see. Now we get some questions here. Manish asks, if you had to spend a day with your main man, Jai Courtney, what would you do?
Probably just lift weights. That's like this is the best thing that he's good at, right?
Keep away from movie sets.
Teach him how to act. You know, just sit him down and be like, all right, Jai. Come on, Jai. Mr. Jai. Mr. Courtney.
Lesson one.
Feel.
I'd ask him to introduce me to his agent. Like, clearly he's doing something, yeah. Right? Like, he's doing all these great roles.
I think he has potential. It's just miscast and nearly every single time.
Maybe he's got to do a comedy.
Well, Boomerang should be somewhat comedic in Suicide Squad, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's a breakout for him.
I really do too, guys.
He's got one shot left.
If there's a sizzle reel at Comic Con next week that has Jai Courtney's Boomerang in it, I really hope it pays off.
Yeah,
I mean, he showed up for Bruce's fifth movie in one of his main franchises.
Yep.
He's now showing up for Arnold's fifth movie in one of his main franchises.
Rambo 5.
Rambo could have a son.
Rambo. I was supposed to say, is he in Rocky 5? We just didn't know it.
He's an extra in Son of Rambo.
He's the kid that beats up Rocky's kid.
With Will Poulter.
Wait, is he really an extra in Son of Rambo?
No, Abe.
No. Oh, I was like, wow, I didn't think that he was like 12.
That'd be kind of funny if he was. He's not that old. Like, Jack, I think he's like,
no,
like
he's only like 23 or... He might be young.
Yeah, I think he's younger than me. Like, I think he's not that old.
Because
in like Spartacus, he was like 20 or something like that. I can't emphasize how good he is. It's 20, by the way. All right.
Next question for us is Jason asks, Team America or The Interview, and Independence Day or The Patriot?
Well, Independence Day wins most things for me. So
yeah, I would say Independence Day over The Patriot.
I don't think The Patriot's a particularly good movie either. So, but Team America, The Interview, Team America.
I go with Team America.
Like the songs.
Yeah, and also just the ridiculousness of it is more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right, but I enjoyed the over the topness of Team America.
I mean, I would agree on Independence Day is way better than Patriot, but I gotta say, I hope this doesn't get me kicked off the podcast. I've never been able to get through Team America. I turned it off.
You're kicked off the podcast.
And The Interview's okay. I mean, and like Randall Park's kind of funny, but I mean, like, it's all right.
Let's see, next one. Here's out of nowhere. David asks, favorite David Cronenberg films? I'm a huge Cronenberg fan. I mean, The Fly stands up there, but I'm huge with Eastern Promises and of History of Violence. I think
definitely
his Viggo Mortensen,
Viggo stuff,
and even
exactly.
A Dangerous Method. I don't love that movie, but I mean, if Viggo Mortensen and Cronenberg got together, I'm happy to see them make more movies.
Yeah,
I think Eastern Promises in particular. I think that for being a movie, you know, Cronenberg has a long career of body horror movies, and those movies they still have it. They're just, you know, they're gangster movies or whatnot. But I think Eastern Promises is a terrific film.
I really like it. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Cool. Lastly, Rob asks us, 1776 or Yankee Doodle Dandy?
Yankee Doodle Dandy.
There you go, Rob.
Yeah.
Answered.
1776, it's like, all right, Mr. Feeny's there. That's fun for a bit, but Yankee Doodle Dandy, it's a better movie.
Mm. Better
the
songs.
The only movie Cagney won an Oscar for, I believe, too. Like, of all the movies, it's Yankee Doodle Dandy. For you James Cagney fans listening to this podcast right now, there's some trivia for you. All right. Let's that's enough feedback. That was
feedback,
good
feedback, feedback.
That was a lot of good fun. Hey, yeah. What
I think it's time for Terminator Genesis Games. Not bad this week. It's like you time traveled through time to make that piece.
I did. That's exactly what I did.
So is this Sonic the Hedgehog or Altered Beast?
None. It's Golden Axe.
Golden Axe. Yeah, that's because it's a four-player game this week. All right, that is the improv theme for games, which is, of course, your ears are just blown out. You can't even hear this podcast anymore because you're so impressed by that. But here we go. Here comes the game. Here it is. Arnold taglines. I didn't have time to think of a clever name for that, but I have a number of taglines from various Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. I'm going to read the tagline, and you have to guess what movie I'm referring to.
This is like the line on the poster?
Yeah, these are the actual taglines from the movie. Right. Since there's four of you, you have to buzz in with your, so you just be like, Abe, and then the movie name, and to kind of buzz
Pink
in.
Pink Panther.
So good, got that? Pink Panther, yes. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Some of these are easier than others.
Okay.
But it's also at speed.
Yeah.
Okay. He conquered an empire with his sword.
Abe. Conan the Barbarian.
Good job with full titles. And yes, that's the correct answer. Here's the next one. It's a jungle gym out there.
Jingle All the Way. Or Peter.
Yeah.
Jungle Gym? Kindergarten Cop?
Kindergarten Cop is the correct answer.
Mm. Okay. Cute.
Almost had to disqualify you. Be careful.
That was the wrong one. Right. Okay.
Here's the next one. 2019, a game nobody survives. This year might be
Randy.
An exception. Yep.
Brandon.
The Running Man.
The Running Man is the correct answer.
That's coming up soon.
What? 2019?
Yeah.
We'll start the
Running Man. So is Terminator Genesis.
Yeah.
Coming up real soon.
Real soon.
Genesis, Genesis.
I'm glad we have an answer for what Genesis is. I don't care, but I mean, I'm glad I have the answer.
Yeah.
I like that the kid was excited when he opened it. I just kept thinking about, like, when I got, you know, my Super Nintendo, and here he is getting his Genesis.
Or the guy, the doctor, the guy at the hospital is like, oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
For no reason, I'm talking about this right now.
All right. Your future is in his hands.
Not Total Recall, I don't know. Your future. I don't know what that is.
Brandon?
Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
No.
Futures in his hands.
I don't know.
Is it The Sixth Day?
Nope.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Wait, can I go buzz again?
Since Abe doesn't seem to want to guess, yeah, sure, go for it.
Is it End of Days?
No, okay, it's the Terminator. I get that point.
Okay.
Wow.
I feel like that's one of the foreign taglines, if I had to guess.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like the future was more in his hands in Terminator 2.
Right.
Well, it doesn't necessarily apply to the Terminator, but that's... Well, I guess it does just if
it must. It must have been Michael Biehn on the poster.
I think. Well, no, I think you just have to think of it in a dark way. Your future is in.
Okay.
Like, I think you're inherently trying to think of it in a positive way, but it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the next one. There's people are going to be screaming. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Abe.
Peter.
Abe got it first. Abe. Predator is correct answer. All right. Here's the next one. Are you who you think you are?
Abe. The Sixth Day.
The Sixth Day.
Yeah.
Abe's all animated when it comes to games. Okay, here we go. When he said I do, he never said what he did.
Peter.
Abe.
Brandon. True Lies.
Peter said it.
I think Peter got it.
Yeah, True Lies.
Were you saying True Lies? Yeah.
Yeah, True Lies.
Okay. Here's the next one. Not in his town, not on his watch.
Abe.
Brandon.
Abe.
The Last Stand.
The Last Stand is the correct answer.
Boom!
I have a longer name to say.
Just call yourself B.
You can do that. All right. Somewhere, somehow, someone's going to pay.
Brandon, Rod Deal?
Nope. That's a good guess.
Peter?
Yeah.
Is it Commando?
Commando is the correct answer.
Ah, that was my thought.
Okay. The darkest side of magic, the strongest side of man.
Peter, the six. What is it called? The six. What is that one?
We already had the Sixth Day. It's not going to be the Sixth Day again.
Randy.
Yeah.
No, is it End of Days? End of Days.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Is it Conan the Destroyer?
It is Conan the Destroyer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's another one. Only their mother can tell them apart.
Peter.
Twins. Brandon twins. Here we go. Here's the next one. They stole his mind, and now he wants it back.
Peter.
Yeah?
Yeah, Total Recall?
Total Recall is the correct answer. Here's the last one. Prepare for the end.
Abe.
Randy.
Abe.
Red Heat.
No.
I just want to say Red Heat.
Okay.
Randy. Yeah. End of Days.
End of Days is the correct answer. All right. You add these up. Well, Brandon, I'm sorry to say that you're in last place.
Aw.
Abe wanted to finish second to last.
Yeah. Yes. Randy, you're in third place.
Well,
and
it's better than nothing.
It is now, I need a tiebreaker question because Peter and Abe are tied for first place currently. So let's let me get a tiebreaker tagline.
Kind of worried.
It's going to be between just you two.
Okay.
I'm going to look up a tagline right now.
What is Tennessee?
Okay.
That was a tiebreaker answer on Jeopardy. Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
You should look up a tagline for a Jai Courtney movie. See if they can.
Oh, oh you no, got your go. That's a good one. Thank you. Thank you for that. I am going to look up a Jai Courtney tagline.
I don't know that. I'm not going to know that.
Here, here it comes. Yeah. Get ready, guys. It's coming right. for you.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, man.
The Jai Courtney tiebreaker.
I got one. This is a juicy one. Here we go. Yeah. Where's the tagline? Where is it? Where'd it go? Give it to me.
That's what the tagline is?
I got it. Okay, here we go. I got it. There's two taglines, so because I think this will be tough enough where you might not know the answer up here.
All right.
Here's the first one. In the battle between good and evil, an immortal holds the key.
Abe.
Yeah?
Damn it. I, Frankenstein?
It is I, Frankenstein.
Oh, is it?
Oh, my God. How did you get that?
No.
Oh, boy.
I was, wow. No, so I was thinking like, damn, that he's not Sam Worthington because I was going to say, I thought it was like one of those Titan movies. Oh,
but,
wow.
But somehow you guessed the right one instead.
He was in I, Frankenstein, but just, he's like that, he's in the trailer.
I forgot he was in I, Frankenstein until I looked it up just now, so wow.
Oh, man.
That means, Peter, you're in second place, and Abe, you are the champion for this week's games.
Woo!
Oh. Impressive.
You can't see it, but I'm riding on a flagpole like Mario right now.
Sweet.
Man, if, you know, when Abe edits this, when he says, excellent, I hope it comes in Arnold's voice, just a...
Excellent?
Well, Arnold says excellent.
Oh.
Excellent.
All right. That was Arnold tagline. That was fun.
Yeah.
Let's move on now to let's move on now to Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, or streaming this week, and we have a few here. The Woman in Gold. Anyone see that? With
Ryan Reynolds, right?
Nope. Ryan Reynolds and then old Helly Mirrors, as I call her. Helen Mirren.
See it.
Ellie Mirrors.
Ellie Mirrors, you know.
Oh, that's great.
That's what they called her on the set of Red 2. Like, Holly Mears is here, guys. Give her some guns. Okay, well, that's coming out. Let's see, what else? Maggie, speaking of Schwarzenegger, Maggie comes out this week, which if you like Arnold but don't want to see a bad movie with him, watch Maggie instead of Terminator Genesis. I think that's a good call.
Hmm.
Any of you guys see Maggie?
I've heard mixed things.
I was thinking I might watch it tonight, actually.
Like, the movie's all right, but I think Arnold's very good in it. I think he gives a very subdued performance, which, you know, for Arnold, and Arnold in emoting never quite go well.
He's been doing that a lot more. You know, that was that one he did, Sabotage. It's not a good movie, but.
He's fine in I like the last 5 minutes of Sabotage, he's excellent in. I'll put it that way.
I think he's trying for a more subtle performance, but he's also kind of he's hammy, you know, it's the way he is.
Yeah. Let's see. Slow West comes out this week. This is with Michael Fassbender and Cody Smith. Mm. A movie I liked quite a bit. Let's see. Kill Me Three Times, a hitman comedy with Simon Pegg, which is not very good. House of Cards season 3.
What?
It's always weird to like say like this is coming out on DVD or Blu-ray when it's like if you have Netflix, that's an easy way.
Oh, I can't wait to binge watch that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Then we get some classics or movies that are just happen to be coming out. I don't know if classics necessarily the term. We have Tar Sims The Cell.
Hmm.
Okay, not much opinion on The Cell.
I saw it back in the day.
Yeah. The Fall is better when it comes to Tar Sims. Let's see. Joe Dirt makes its Blu-ray debut.
Mm.
Yeah, that's happening.
Tarsim actually has a new movie that I've seen. Selfless.
Selfless? How'd that go? Can you talk about it?
No, I can't talk about it.
Okay.
But I've seen it.
Okay. I don't know how enthusiastic that sounds, so I can't really read it. let's see. Virtuosity. This is the if you thought American Gangster was the pinnacle of Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe team-ups, then you have not seen Virtuosity, which pits them together for the first time as hero and villain.
It's my introduction to Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's like this and the Quick and the Dead, the Russell Crowe movies. They like people are like, who's this Australian fella? That's what they're saying. But yeah, that's a movie that exists. If you want
to see it again,
I got it on Blu-ray to review this week. I'm excited to watch it as well. I almost want to watch that and Johnny Mnemonic back to back because
Johnny Mnemonic.
It seems like the perfect Johnny product of.
I love Johnny Mnemonic. That's a pretty fun bad movie.
Yeah, the one movie that has Dolph Lundgren and dolphins together.
And Henry Rollins.
And
I mean,
Henry Rollins.
Henry
and Ice-T.
Oh, yeah.
And just doesn't stop with that movie.
Like, Sean Spencer's dad, Henry Rollins?
And Udo Kier.
And Udo Kier. Yes. And lastly, to raise things up quite a bit, The Killers comes out on Blu-ray Criterion this week, which is it's a double pack because there's a Killers and there's a remake of The Killers. This is a really solid noir that was then remade as a neo-noir. The first one had Burt Lancaster. The second one had has Lee Marvin and Ronald Reagan in one of his last performances before he went to, you know, do the whole political thing. So I just find that interesting. But they're both good movies. They come, like, together, which is a cool thing for Criterion because they don't do that very often.
Yeah.
Especially because they play over – it's an original and remake combo that work well off of each other, which is why I wanted to point it out because I like those movies. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's out now. Presents what's out now. Next up, we have Extremely Cool. These are movies that are currently streaming that we can recommend. Abe, you might like this first song.
It Follows.
It Follows is not streaming yet.
Oh, it is.
It's on, like...
Amazon streaming.
It's on demand.
It's on demand.
Oh, on demand. Sorry, yeah. Yes,
you gotta pay for it. Mm. I mean, you can stream it, but the idea is, you know, things that are accessible to those people. And with that said, The Wood is currently streaming. I noticed
that. I do like The Wood.
Which is from director Rick Famuyiwa, who's currently directed Dope, which is currently in theaters. But, yeah, The Wood, if you want to catch up on that movie. I saw The Box Trolls are streaming, and I like The Box Trolls. So I
this is a good joke there about milk.
It's
and Kurt Lane.
Thanks, Abe. There's that one joke about milk. All right, let's see. Next week's show, I think I talked about this already. Next week,
it's going to be a special.
Next week's going to be a special. We'll do some Comic-Con stuff, see who gets on that one. But yeah, then after that, we have the 200th episode, which will either incorporate Ant-Man and maybe Trainwreck as well, or be its own thing. We'll figure that out. But yes, there's some stuff coming.
Be excited, Gary.
Be excited. what else? Last thing we have here. What should people see now, and what do you plan to see next? So let's see. Brandon Peters, what should people see in theaters right now?
I guess, you know, see Fury Road as many times as you want.
There you go.
That's a great one. I'll probably see next. I'm trying to get to Inside Out finally. Because I want to take my son to it, so, you know, finding time and stuff, babysitter for my littlest one becomes a challenge. So I've been holding off on that one until I can see it with my son. So.
You guys have your kids.
Yeah.
Randy, what would you say people should see in theaters right now?
I'd go with Inside Out. I think Inside Out is probably one of the best movies I've seen in theaters in a while. Just in you know, I've seen good movies, but that one just really, really stood out. And you know, something I'd look forward in the future is, you know, I know it's a bit of a ways away, but Creed, I mean, come on.
Peter, what should people go and see at the theaters right now?
Yeah. Inside Out or Mad Max. And I want to go see the Wolf Pack because I've heard good things.
Cool. Abe?
Definitely go check out Dope. And, I think what we're going to see next is, actually, I'm not really sure what I'm going to see next, but it's going to be something that's probably not as good as Dope.
Dope is like an obvious one for me, but I've been saying that for a few weeks now. So I'd say Million Year Old and the Dying Girl. I think it's a solid movie. Certainly worth checking out. And the next thing I'm seeing Minions. Yep. And
gonna wear your Pharrell hat?
I should wear my Pharrell hat.
You should.
Yeah, you should get one.
I'll be seeing that tomorrow.
So I'll see you there. And,
when does Tangerine open? I thought that was amazing. Is that out yet?
I think it's out like the mid-July, I think, is when it starts opening.
Because that's something I would recommend that. But yeah. It's not yet.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing Minions, and I'm also seeing Mr. Holmes this week with Ian McKellen. So
I'm looking forward to that. Magneto getting old, right?
Exactly, yeah. Magneto getting old.
You're not going to go see Trainwreck? Oh, you're going to Comic-Con. That's why.
Yeah, I'll be at Comic-Con. I'll see Trainwreck after that.
Thursday, but yeah.
Cool. But yeah, so that's that. Okay. And with all that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode about Now, Theron, and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com. You can also find me writing about movies daily at ranthollywood.com. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at aaronsps4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag Women's World Cup.
Brandon Peters.
You can find my work at whysoblue.com and my personal blog at Naptown Nerd, which is naptownnerd.blogspot.com.
Any retrospectives coming up?
There will be. I've had a crazy summer so far and been pretty busy, but I will be picking back up with the Mission Impossible series.
Very cool. Nice. Great. Randy Schaffer.
You can find me on Twitter at RL Schaefer Writes. You can also find me at rlschaefer.com and also on Amazon.
Peter Paris.
Right now, Game Revolution, but I'm actually planning on, I want to get my own site up so I can just have one place that is easier for people to go to. But right now, Game Revolution, I did a lot of coverage for the E3.
The next time you're on this podcast, you better have that site up.
Yes.
Swear to
God.
Exactly.
Okay. You better win games, too.
You better win games also.
Exactly.
You can find all the other episodes about Now, Theron, and Abe on iTunes, also at Audio Boom and Stitcher.
Listen to our old episodes over at SoundCloud, Podomatic, and HHWLOD.
You can email us your thoughts on Terminator, the franchise, or the new movie, or just, you know, things about random Terminators you happen to see in real life at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
Interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And lastly, our Tumblr page. Some people follow it, so why not you too? outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. And so, yeah, Brandon, Randy, Peter, thank you all for joining us.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And until next time, that's going to do it. So long.
And the balcony is closed.
Yep. Okay. Come with me if you want to live. That's my
dinner. Now, soldier!